We're going to be going quickly through Appendix 53, which discusses the sieges of Jerusalem. And it is just, you know, there's so much that goes on in that area, and what you find out that constantly the sieges that were held and you know, the fight for such a small piece of land that carries such great importance to, you know, everything, you know, that we read and a lot of the beliefs, and, you know, how some of these beliefs are tied into other cultures, but not in the same fashion that ours is. The history of the city has been a record of its sieges. No fewer than 27 go to complete this list. And it's interesting to know that 3, the divine completeness, times 9 of judgment brings us to 27. Biblical and prophetic insights. The 27, the first occurrence of the name Jerusalem as a city is in Judges 1:8. Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it and smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. This confirms the fact that the first occurrence contains an epitome of its subsequent history. The history of the city has been a record of its sieges. No fewer than 27 go to complete the list. This number is striking in the light of Appendix number 10, being composed of 3 times 9. And the factors being those of divine completeness and judgment, respectively. A cycle of ordinal completeness is marked by the 10th and 20th sieges. These were the two characterized by the destruction of the temple by fire, which is in accordance with the number 10, being that of ordinal perfection. See Appendix 10. So we go. 10 denotes ordinal perfection, another new first. After the 9th digit, when numeration commences anew, both also were foretold, the former by Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the latter by our Lord. 7 is the number of spiritual perfection, and it is worthy of note that the 7th and 14th, 2 times 7, and the 21st, that should be 3 times 7, sieges were each the subject of divine prophecy. Further, a 28th, 4 times 7, siege, yet future, is foretold in Zechariah 14:2. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. While 14 of the sieges are recorded in Holy Scripture, 13 are recorded in profane history. A profane history is related to secular, non-religious historical records in the human events as opposed to sacred or divine history. Historically, scholars use the term to separate secular accounts from religious texts like the Bible or sacred scriptures. In this specific phrase, profane does not mean vulgar or obscene. It simply means outside the temple or worldly. The time frame covered in the following descriptions is roughly 2,600 years. Bill, got a good copy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. By the tribe of Judah against the Jebusites about 1443 BC. This was some 700 years before Rome was founded. It was only partial, for in David's reign, we still find the Jebusites occupying the citadel, the future Zion. The solemn words in Judges 1:8, now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it and smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. This describes the first siege, vividly portraying the after history of the city. By David against the Jebusites, 2 Samuel 5:6. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking, David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. And David said on that day, Whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, The blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David, and David built round about Milo and inward. That's from 2 Samuel 5:9. Make the picture. First Chronicles 11:4. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were the inhabitants of the land. And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, Thou shalt not come hither. Nevertheless, David took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David. And David said, Whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went first up and was chief. And David dwelt in the castle. Therefore, they called it the City of David. This was about 960 B.C. Now, by Shishak, the king of Egypt, against Rehoboam, 1 Kings 14:25, and it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all. And he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. 2 Chronicles 12:2. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord with 1,200 chariots and 70,000 horsemen, and the people were without a number that came with him out of Egypt. The Lubims, the Sukkims, and the Ethiopians. And he took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah and came to Jerusalem. Then came Shemaiah, the prophet, to Rehoboam and to the prince of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, The Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, They have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrances of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again into the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah, things went well. And this was at about 875 B.C. To this, There was only a feeble resistance, and the temple was plundered. By the Philistines, Arabians, and Ethiopians against Jehoram, 2 Chronicles 21:16. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. And they came up into Judah and brake into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house and his sons also and his wives, so that there was never a son left him save Jehoaz, the youngest of his sons. This was about 794 BC. In this siege, the royal palace was sacked and the temple again plundered. By Jehoash, king of Israel, against Amaziah, king of Judah, 2 Kings 14:13. And Jehoash, king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Jehoash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh, and came to Jerusalem and brake down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim unto the corner gate 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and hostages and returned to Samaria. Now about 739 BC this occurred. The wall was partially broken down and the city and temple pillaged. By Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, king of Israel, against Ahaz, 2 Chronicles 28:1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David, his father. 2 Chronicles 28:5. Wherefore, the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria, and they smote him and carried away great multitude of them captives and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men, because they had forsaken that of God of their fathers. About 630 BC, the city held out, but Ahaz sought the aid of Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, for whom he stripped the temple. It is interesting to note that in 2 Kings 16:5, when Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. But then in 2 Kings 16:9, and the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it and carried the people of it captive to Kir, and slew Rezin in the order of the books, in this case, in the King James Version. It is important to note that 2 Kings covers the history of the kings of Israel and Judah up to the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon. 2 Chronicles retains much of the same history from Adam through the kings of Judah, but it continues past the Babylonian exile. So in the sense, it should be clear up to the it should clear up the possible confusion over Rezin being alive in 2 Chronicles as opposed to being vanquished in 2 Kings. By Sennacherib, king of Assyria, against Hezekiah, 2 Kings 24:10. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother, and his servants, and his princes, and his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. And carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple, and the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem, and all princes, and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained, save the poorest sort of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land. Those carried he unto captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000 and craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. This occurred about 603 BC. In this case, the siege was raised by divine interposition, as foretold by Isaiah the prophet in 37:5. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall ye say unto your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Subsequently, Sennacherib fell to the sword of his own sons. Isaiah 37 is an interesting chapter in regards to all the communications that were traversing the area, and speaks to the religious, political, and cultural history of this region. It just was such a hotbed of activity over such a, you know, long period of time, and being, you know, changing hands here, moving here, you know, it was very, very, very hot area. For all this, for the religious, the political, and cultural measures in that, in those times. By Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, against Jehoiakim. 2 Chronicles 36:6. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon, and put them in his temple at Babylon. About 496 BC, when the temple was partly pillaged. By Nebuchadnezzar again, against Jehoiakim. 2 Chronicles 36:10. And when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon, with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem, in about 489 BC, when the pillage of the temple was carried further, and 10,000 people carried away. By Nebuchadnezzar against Zedekiah. Nebuchadnezzar was very busy in besieging Jerusalem. Therefore, he brought upon them, and this is in 2 Chronicles 37:17, 36:17. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. And this was 478-477 BC. In this case, the temple was burnt with fire, and the city and the temple lay desolate for 50 years. By Ptolemy, Soter king of Egypt, against the Jews, 320 BC, more than 100,000 captives were taken to Egypt. By Antiochus the Great, about 203 BC. By Scopas, a general of Alexander, about 199 BC, who left a garrison there. By Antiochus the Fourth, surnamed Epiphanes, 168 BC. This was the worst siege since the 10th. The whole city was pillaged, 10,000 captives taken, the walls destroyed, and the altar defiled. Ancient manuscripts perished. The finest buildings were burned, and the Jews were forbidden to worship there. Foretold in Daniel 11, it speaks of a protracted time of political history and military conflict between ancient empires. By Antiochus the Fifth, surnamed Eupator, against Judas Maccabeus, about 162 BC. This time, honorable terms were made and certain privileges were secured. By Antiochus the Seventh, surnamed Sidetes, king of Syria, against John Hyrcanus, about 135 BC. By Hyrcanus, son of Alexander Janaeus, and the priest Aristobulus. The siege was raised by Scaurus, one of Pompey's lieutenants, about 65 BC. By Pompey against Aristobulus, about 63 BC. The machines were moved on the Sabbath when the Jews made no resistance. Only thus was it then reduced. 12,000 Jews were slain. Antigonus, son of Aristobulus, with a Parthian army, took the city in 40 BC. But there was no siege. The city was taken by a sudden surprise. Herod, with a Roman army, besieged the city in 39 BC for 5 months. By Titus, AD 69, see Appendix 56, page 61. The second temple, Herod's, was burnt, and for 50 years the city disappeared from history, as after the 10th siege. Jeremiah 20, verse 5. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city and all the labors thereof and all the precious things thereof and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give unto the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. The Romans had again to besiege the city in AD 135 against the false Messiah, Bar Cochabus, who had acquired possession of the ruins. The city was obliterated and renamed Aelia Capitolina, and a temple was erected to Jupiter. For 200 years, the city passed out of history, no Jews being permitted to approach it. This siege was foretold in Luke 19:43. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies will trench about thee, encompass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Luke 21:20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with your armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereunto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. After 400 years of so-called Christian colonization through the country, thousands were massacred, and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was destroyed. The Emperor Heraclius afterwards defeated him and restored the city and the church. The Caliph Omar, in AD 636-7, besieged the city against Heraclius. It was followed by a capitulation on favorable terms, and the city passed into the hands of the Turks, in whose hands it remains to the present day. Afdal, the vizier of this Caliph of Egypt, besieged the two rival factions of Muslims and pillaged the city in 1098. In 1099, it was besieged by the army of the First Crusade. In 1187, it was besieged by Salah ad-Din for 7 weeks. The wild Khwarezmian Tartar hordes in 1244 captured and plundered the city, slaughtering the monks and priests. There will be a 28th according to Zechariah 14, which will be raised by Messiah, even as the 7th was by Jehovah. Zechariah 14:1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Understanding the sieges of Jerusalem is important in that these are critical moments in biblical prophecy and the historical narrative. They are not just simply quarreling over land or possessions, but they are the execution of judgment by God and the fulfillment of particular covenants. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Luke, all recorded or conveyed prophetic warnings regarding the outcome that would befall Jerusalem if the nation did not repent. God's love for Israel through multiple measures of rebellion underpins all the chances for resolution that have been afforded this nation throughout time. God's patience is seemingly immeasurable given the time he has spent waiting for Israel to come to their senses. That being said, that it may be small potatoes for the patience he may have for your human frailty. Kind of puts that into perspective. He will not forget you, even though at times you may forget him. He is always there, and though his presence may go unseen, suffice it to say, no matter where you go, there he is and will be. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we are able to spend together in studying your words of wisdom, and we do best to take to heart. And with our study of the scriptures you have laid before us, we engage regarding the wisdom bestowed upon us by you and utilize the tool most important for understanding, and that is rightly dividing. We give thanks to you, Lord, for all we have in creation, for it is all created by you. We pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.